I'm delighted to once again greet Father Hyland, who has joined us in choir. If any of you have objects that you want to have blessed, please come back to the sacristy immediately after Mass so that I can bless them for you. At the end of Holy Mass, with the authority of Bishop Hying, I will read the exorcism against Satan and the fallen angels, as he has asked me to do for the diocese. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Today we have a scene which is known to really quite well to all of us, and this is the calling of Simon Peter in his moment of deep introspection. When he has his first encounter with the Lord, he begins to see who he truly is, and also who he truly isn't. He recognizes himself as a sinful man. We priests take a great deal of consolation from this reading, because none of us are worthy of the call that we have. It's only the Lord himself who makes it possible for us to carry out what we do. He does not choose those who are worthy. He chooses those whom it pleases him to choose. And then we have to do our very best to be always good in cooperation with the vocations that the Lord has offered us. And this goes for everyone. Everyone in their vocation, whatever vocation it is that we have. Now, we find in this reading a kind of a strange situation. We find these professional fishermen have been out all night, and they have caught absolutely nothing. We got a couple of guys with boats, with nets, who really know what they're doing, fishing in their home waters, who have been fishing all night and have caught absolutely nothing. What's up with that? Well, it's probable that just as there is a miraculous catch of fish later, the Lord had withheld fish from them all during the night, requiring them to persevere. Because of their perseverance, they were in the right place at the right time so that they could hear the Lord preach and have this encounter with him. God gave them abundance later, but before, he gave them nothing. He withheld everything that they expected to have, and they had to persevere in the dark, laboring and getting nothing. Sometimes God withholds blessings and consolations. Sometimes God withholds graces. There are even times when, according to circumstances, God withholds other things that we truly need, as we have learned in this time of lockdown. God withholds blessings and consolations to test us, to try us, to purify our love, to purify our will, to help us find out who we really are. Now, if Peter and company had given up in the middle of the night, they wouldn't have been in the right place at the right time. So perseverance is something that can help us to be in exactly the right place in the right time according to God's will. Now, they had a miraculous catch, and they needed help to get it to shore. And the other fishermen pitched in to help. And that's really not all that surprising. We see how people can rally to a cause. It's part of our human nature. We want to go out and we want to help people. When we see someone who is in trouble, we stop and help them. But it's also, unfortunately, part of our fallen nature to envy those who have success. I'm sure that with these other fishermen that rallied around to get this incredible catch in, there were those who were absolutely thrilled for Peter and company, but there were probably also those who were envious. they were filled with sorrow at the good fortune of another, which is a terrible thing. They hauled on the nets and did the work alongside those who were happy for Peter, but they were filled with sorrow at the good fortune of another. We have to be careful in our lives not to have envy of other people's good position, especially if we are in a time when things are being withdrawn from us, kept from us, when we're not getting consolations, when we're not succeeding, when our challenges seem particularly overwhelming, and we look over at another person and see that that person is doing so very well. And the third point on this gospel reading that we can take is that the good work that these people performed to help Peter and company get the miraculous fish in could have different outcomes. Even if the people who were helping Peter and company get the fish into the boat weren't particularly envious, I mean, they weren't filled with sorrow, but they were perhaps even happy for Peter, the good work that they performed could also be of no merit for them, just as our good works can be of no merit for us if we are not in the state of grace. You can perform fantastic, wonderful good works day in and day out, day in and day out, but if you are not in the state of grace, they will not be meritorious for you. They will not help you to heaven. We have to be in the state of grace in order to benefit from the merits of performing good works. Now, this goes not just for individuals. It also could go for a larger structure in the church. For example, if those who are in charge of one particular structure or another, whether it be the universal church or whether it be a diocese or a parish, but they've lost sense of the transcendent, their mission is no longer so much to get souls to heaven, but perhaps even they have been suckered into working on a project of creating a utopia on earth instead of looking out for the salvation of souls, then what they have done is they've turned their parish or diocese or the church itself into something like an NGO, a non-governmental organization that might do all sorts of wonderful things for feeding the poor or whatever it might be doing. But if it's not done with a view to the salvation of souls and the glory of God and love of God and neighbor, it is of no essential and eternal value. It's of no spiritual good to anybody. It's a dry and empty work, as good as it might look on the outside or in the light of the praise of the world. Benedict XVI, in his first encyclical, makes this point. He makes a warning about the church perhaps just becoming an NGO if she loses sight of the goal of the salvation of souls. Effectively, what that is a reduction of the supernatural to the natural. The reduction of the supernatural to the natural. This is one of the most dangerous things that we see in our time at work, like an acid or like a virus through the bloodstream of the church. Remember that in your hard times, God is at work in you. You may not feel it, it may not be pleasant, but God is working with you and in you. Don't forget the supernatural dimension of life. If you have difficulties, if you have hard times, like Job, remember to raise your arms and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Thank the Lord, even in times of difficulty, especially in times of difficulty, especially in dry times. When other people benefit well, and you are perhaps not, and you see them in their good fortune or in their success, thank the Lord. Bless the Lord. for their sake, and also for yours as well. If you see that there are other people who have need of whatever help you can give, thank the Lord. Be grateful. It's not really an imposition on you, who are so very important in the grand scheme of things. It's an opportunity for you to gain graces, to be of help to someone else for the love of God and for the love of neighbor. His praise in all of the circumstances of our lives, whether we are challenged or whether we are succeeding, whether we are happy or we are sad, whether we are benefiting or whether we are laboring and working for ourselves or for others in the vocations that we have, His praise must be our constant chorus. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.